the show started off as a cabaret show.
Mm-hmm.
I had a 3.5-year run at Don't Tell Mama on 46th Street. So I had a cabaret show that ran for 3.5 years. It was actually 3 separate shows that the first 2 ran for a year, and then the last one was called The Cougar Cabaret. But there was a show called The Balancing Act, where it was like the first nightclub-y act show I'd ever written, and it was about my life, and I interspersed it with, like, old standards and jazz. And I was on TV as a kid on a television show called Zoom, and we won, a bunch of Emmys and stuff. And it just sort of, so that was part of my story arc. And then, then I got married, then I got divorced, then I got married, then I got divorced. So then I had to write The Unbalancing Act, because what I say in the show now, but what happened is that that during the run of The Balancing Act, which ended, the whole end of it was like how I had was in a happy second marriage. What I say is that Mr. Wonderful became Mr. Wonder What the Fuck Was I Thinking? And so then I had to write The Unbalancing Act, which was all about my divorce. But the beauty of, Lemonade Out of Lemons is that I started writing my own music about my divorce. And I was about, 43 years old. I'm 50 now. And I was 42. And I was out with a girlfriend one night, and all of a sudden someone calls me a cougar. And I was like, what? Wah, wah, wah? Like, are you serious? And then I was also doing stand-up at the time. So I was like, I would talk about it. I was like, well, what do you call an older man who's linked with a younger woman? I've researched it. It's called man. Why all of a sudden are we derogatorizing the female? It just felt very patriarchal and very... So I wrote a song that became the 11th hour number in the show, and it was called The Cougar. And in it, it was a very funny song, but in it, the this young man, comes up to me. Oh, how it started, he would be in the audience, because this was at first of the one-woman show, and he'd be in the audience. He'd go, excuse me, would you like a back rub? And I'd be like, are you serious? Right here, right now? Yes. And then he'd come up and start giving me a back rub and say, I'd start really getting into it. And I'd say, oh, my God, this is so good. I really feel like I've got the world on my shoulders. And, oh, my God, where have you been the last 10 years of my life? And he'd keep massaging me and then he'd say, high school? And we would go into this Cougar song, which is really funny, where at the end, I think he's kind of going in for the kiss, and I start getting into it, and he looks at me really closely and very, earnestly, and thank you so much, and then tells me that I look just like his mother.
Ugh.
So that was kind of a bummer, and so, but anyway, that was like the 11th hour number, and hilarious, and there were some producers in the audience who, called me up, the next day and said, if you write a show all about that, we'll get behind you. So that's kind of the origin. So then I wrote The Cougar Cabaret, and I continued to write more music. And I kept, it was interesting, since I had already written 2 other shows, there were certain things that I kept from The Balancing Act, even The Unbalancing Act, and, because I had to write, 17 songs for The Balancing Act, or, 15 songs. So then, all in all, I've written, 30 songs now. But The Cougar, there were elements from way back from The Balancing Act that went in, and The Unbalancing Act that, we were able to keep with the whole Cougar theme, and basically... The theme of the cabaret show was that it was about a woman just getting divorced, me, who was, you know, with children, me, who was really having, you know, struggling with the idea of, like, who am I? What is my identity right now? You know, because my whole life, and I think a lot of women can experience this, like, especially ones who are mothers and wives, you know, we're sort of, it's like, if I'm not connected to a child in filling her or his needs, or a husband in filling his needs, like, I honestly didn't know who I was for a little while. Like, and if I wasn't in a relationship, I just felt like I was, like, alone. I just didn't have the kind of self-confidence and or groundedness that, you know, like, it just was really scary for me to, you know, because I looked for validation outside myself. So we have, a really kind of interesting and sort of soulful and deep message. It's really about how do you find yourself, you know, how, and it's really about saying yes to life no matter what. And so then we did the Cougar Cabaret, and then I got, you know, there were some Broadway producers who said, if you develop this, we will get you behind you. And then it took me 4 years, or actually three, really 4 years, to get a script that was as energetically viable as my cabaret show had been. Because I had people, men, women, gay, straight, young, old, come every, like 8-9 times. Like, it was, like, really, and it was fun, you know, and we'd always go out after party after. It was, like, a hell of a good time. And, but I wanted to have something that was more soulful. Oh, and this is also a whole other thing, but, this is a lot of, I started being, when I was doing the Cougar Cabaret, I started getting interviews or calls from national magazines and national newspapers. I became like a cougar expert.
Yeah.
So I was like, but what I really felt, and this is why I feel like that my show has had, why it's had an 8-year, you know, why am I here now? Why is it still, you know, I really thought at first that I would have like a 1-year shelf life. Because like in 2007, I guess Time Magazine coined Cougar the number one buzzword of 2007. So I'm like, God, I gotta get this show on the road or else, you know, this has to hit now or else, you know, I have a 1-year time period to do this. But lo and behold, it's 2012, and especially outside of the city and just in the world, it's like the term cougars in the vernacular. People are really, like, it's becoming, you know, it's not just a buzzword anymore. It's sort of in the zeitgeist of our American culture. But what I really feel, and I felt all along, and this is why I feel like, you know, why our show is more, not more, but it's a soulful show, and we have a message. And the stock message is about saying yes to life no matter what, and that love is ageless, and no matter how old you are. But it goes deeper, and I this is what I said for in all the interviews, like 6 years ago or whatever, when I was being interviewed, you know, with the Cougar Cabaret. I actually think that this whole cougar phenomenon is a misguided, energetic yearning to embrace a more matriarchal system after a millennia of patriarchal dictation. Like, you know, like in the old-fashioned world, or in, you know, in the, you know, in other cultures, the older woman was revered. And, you know, she was like the old crone or the wise woman or, you know, but there was like, you know, they revered her. And I feel like because we are sort of in a place in our culture and in our life where, you know, there's a lot of, you know, we've been under patriarchal dictation for a long time, and how we doing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How we doing? And so I actually think that in our own way, what we're doing is sort of a way of focusing on the older female. And even though we need to derogatorize her or sexualize her, in actuality, we are unconsciously honoring her, or you know, like, because first, you know, first you got to put attention on someone before you can either dislike them or respect them. And just to go a little step further on a spiritual or soulful note, I believe that the healing on the planet, the energetic healing that we need is, it's really about embracing the sacred feminine. And I think that as more women really own their sacred worth and their sacred feminine, we then, and actually men, I believe men have sacred feminine in them as well. You know, if energy cannot be created nor destroyed, then, you know, I believe, you know, I have masculine aspects in me, just and feminine. And I just think that as, I just think we are, there's an energetic calling to embrace more sacred feminine, and that is where the healing will be.
Considering the fact that, you know, Desperate Housewives is off the air, and the L Word, and Sex in the City, do you feel like this show kind of, like, fills a niche for women that kind of want, like, that, you know, girl-powered kind of, like, entertainment?
Absolutely. I just think our show is going to take it a step further. And also, I should say that, yeah, this is a lot of girl power, but this is like a chick flick that the guys love.
How so?
You know what I mean? Well, because they're sexy, empowered women, and it's hilarious. Like, we are really using the cougar construct to just talk about life and dating and relationships and empowerment, and it's not just for women. Like you know, in order to really, you know, to have, I believe we're all in this together, and you know, we have always felt like, I mean, our show. I've had men come to my shows that they've never laughed so hard, like they can't remember when they laughed so hard. But it's not a male bashing one thing, you know, like we are, we love everybody. And it's, but I really do think though that as women empower themselves, then we can like empower our men. And so we can be in this together instead of a, you know, it's like a, you know, we don't need a battle of the sexes. We need to come together. So, but yes, I do. I think it's a great, opportunity for women to, you know, like, it does create a niche, space for a show that where you can come have a great time, see women, strutting their stuff, but it's also like, we make fun of ourselves. It's not just, I mean, it's actually very sweet and soulful, but in a very sexy and funny way.
So this is a musical, so I mean, obviously the music is going to play, you know, front and center and help you communicate that message. So considering that, who are your musical influences and how do you think they played a part in you putting the score together?
Oh my God, what a great question. Well,
thank you.
yeah. Well, first of all, I will say that my, like, growing up, for me, well, you know, being on Zoom, there was, you know, we sang, but that was like, you know, we sang in the show, but it wasn't like, but I will tell you who I revered when I was growing up and I like always wanted to emulate was Carly Simon. I just loved her. She was incredible. And Carla Bonoff. However, I worked with, when we were in cabaret, how it worked is that I started out writing a lyric, and I didn't know that I was like, well, I hadn't really started writing music. I mean, I'd written a couple songs when I was young. I was trying to get a record deal, like when I was younger. But really, it was how this has worked for the genre of each song, because we have like a whole, we go from like grinding blues to doo-wop to, you know, musical theater to ballad to merengue, you know, that kind of thing. But it really is very character and scene driven. Mm-hmm. You know, and that is kind of what dictated the composition, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I also have co-created with some really wonderful composers. I've actually, believe it or not, worked with about 5 different composers, including myself. Because since it started in cabaret and it's been such a long thing, it kind of has morphed and kind of taken on, it's like its own cougar animal, in a way. And I will say, just because I'd like to give him a shout out, that John Baxendean composed the song The Cougar, and which started everything. And then I also have worked with someone named Mark Barkin, and his claim to fame is he wrote the I don't know if this is probably way before your time, but there was a song, it was called the Tra-La-La song. I mean, I guess he wrote some songs that Elvis sang. He's like 72 now. Mm-hmm. But you know the song? It was like for some kid's show, but it goes, tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Does that ring a bell?
Yes. Yes, it does.
For you?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I'm not just saying that either.
Yeah.
It sounds eerily familiar. Yeah.
Mark did that, and then I worked with an amazing woman, a beautiful composer named Mel Lepard. And then I also worked with someone named Arnie Gross. And then my last co-writer, who basically I write lyrics and then will, for the most part, co-write the music.
Yes.
His name is Seth Leffert. And he also has a band that I sometimes sing in. And he calls himself Mr. He also is a writer and mm-hmm. calls himself Mr. Vibration. And he's got, like, he's one of those really extremely intelligent men who talks about harnessing energy, which our show actually sort of embarks to do. I mean, there's a lot of levels to our show, but the bottom line is it's hilariously funny, and I promise you that.
I just, as you were speaking, I remembered the show that song was on. Remember the Banana Splits?
Yes, it's a Banana Split.
There you go. It's like, as you're talking, I'm hearing the song in my head, and I'm like, what is that? So anyway, you've done a lot over the last 40 years. I mean, you've done cabaret, you've done stand-up, you've done one-woman shows. Considering that, where do you want this show to kind of stand in your body of work? Like, how do you want it to be remembered?
I want this show to be, I am so proud of this show, and it's so soulful, and have a wonderful, long run in New York, I want to go and take it nationally to almost, you know, every town so we can touch as many women and men's lives, you know, but women's lives, and really get this message of saying yes and honoring yourself and your sacred feminine. And so I want to, like, tour the country, we'll do an even larger run back in New York. But I have this show, like, if I were to die tomorrow, God willing, I won't. But, you know, I would just be so proud that I would like to have this be my vagina monologue. but it's also one for guys. And I should say, too, I work with the most amazing director and dramaturg, and her name is Lynn Taylor Corbett.
Mm-hmm.
She's a director choreographer. She was up for 2 Tonys for Swing, which was a Broadway show. She choreographed the movie Footloose with Kevin Bacon way back in the day.
Yeah.
I would not be here without Lynn, because she really helped me to create characters that were, you know, really well formed and smart. And, like, for instance, like I do the comedy, right, on stand-up comics. So, of course, I've done stand-up comics. To be quite honest, I had not done it in 3 years. But I have a background there. So of course, my thing is joke. And Lynn's like, I don't think we really need 3 jokes there. We just need 1 or 2. And I'm like, what? So it was like, but she's been so helpful in sculpting the piece to be really, I think, edgy and smart. And really keep the characters really, really well developed. So I just want to I'd really like to give a shout out to her, because she's also one of the nicest people, and she gets it. Just a smart cookie and also very kind and generous woman.